Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Is the Bible outdated, or do many of the characters and circumstances we read about in the Old and New Testament parallel the experiences we face today, both as individuals and as a society? Biblical fiction authors have a unique gift for taking those Bible stories of old and transporting them into modern day. As masters of the craft, they show us that, although customs and cultural norms may have changed over the centuries, our God is the same loving, caring, faithful God now as he was then. My guest today, Michelle Chenoweth, is the best-selling and award-winning author of 4 contemporary suspense novels that reimagine Bible stories. These include The Faithful One, The Peacemaker, The Runaway Prophet, and The Jealous Son. She is the recipient of several book awards, including the new Apple Book Award for Best Cross-Genre Fiction for 2018 and the Book Excellence Award for Best Religious Fiction of 2018. Michelle is also an inspirational speaker who has addressed a variety of writers' conferences and other organizations across the country, a book coach editor, and a college writing instructor. A graduate of the University of Notre Dame, Michelle lives with her husband in Northeast Maryland. Good morning and welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Patty. Good morning. It's great to be on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, Michelle. I saw your advertisements and your blog tour that's coming up, and it looks like a really exciting collection of books that you have written there. So, Michelle, I'd like to ask you first of all, what childhood experiences influenced the life you live today, both as a writer and as a Christian? Did you grow up in a Christian home? Did you have an interest in writing as a child, or is that something that developed later on in your life?
I was really fortunate to grow up in a Christian home. My parents and their parents before them and probably several generations back were Catholic, so I was raised in the Catholic faith. And I'll say that's a blessing that was there for me as I did go through some dark times, like we all do, that I had that faith to draw on to bring me through back into the light. I've always wanted to be an author. Ever since I can remember, I remember at 10 years old, I actually wrote a novel in a spiral-bound notebook about a girl and her dog, you know.
how fun.
You write what you know. And I have always wanted to write, but as dreams sometimes do, it got buried with life. So went through high school, graduated from college, did what we all do, got a job. I was lucky to keep my writing through my jobs. I became a news reporter for several newspapers and on air as a TV news reporter. Then went into marketing. I went as a copywriter with an ad agency. I wanted to be a little more creative with my writing. And then opened my own ad agency. Along the way, got married, had 3 children, got divorced, got remarried, acquired 2 more children, 2 stepchildren. So we have a blended family of 5 kids now and 2 grandkids. In the marketing world, I became a marketing director. And along the way, though, that dream never really got lost. So it resurfaced about 25 years ago. The writing bug bit me to write that book. And I wrote what I thought was going to become the next great American novel about a reporter, again, write what you know, and a destined yet doomed love affair. And that book won the first place prize with the Maryland Writers Association Fiction Contest, but the prize was literary agency representation. And 9/11 came along, and true story, and we all lost the prize of literary agency representation because the agency was located in the towers in New York. And we were told we lost the prize. So devastated and in a really dark place for other reasons, which we'll talk about, I heard a still small voice say, Michelle, write a story based, write a novel based on the book of Job. And looking back, I realized that was God tapping me on the shoulder to bring me through a lot of my Job-like trials and tribulations. And it became my first novel, The Faithful One, which was published in 2009. And a Christian publisher picked it up, and several more novels followed. And my latest novel, The Jealous Son, just came out August 13th. And
yes.
Since then, it's been a roller coaster ride, but a really great one. And I'm very blessed that God called me to write in this genre.
It sounds like you have just had a really exciting life, both personally and in the literary world, Michelle. And isn't it wonderful the way God kind of takes us by the hand and says, no, don't go that way, go this way.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. That is so sad about 9/11, though. Goodness, I don't think, well, I mean, I've heard so much about it. And I had a man on the show who actually was there about two or three days after. He was a chaplain. But to actually know somebody who was affected in that manner, that the business they were involved in is just no longer there. I don't think I had encountered that before, and it really brings that tragedy back home, makes it very real again.
Right. It had far-reaching aspects for everyone, I would say. But I think, like life situations, God brings us through, and it's all how you look at things, whether you can come through and look at the good and be grateful.
Definitely. Yeah, like they say, we wouldn't be very strong if we didn't face the trials that we have to face. If life was just a bowl of cherries, we wouldn't. We'd all be a bunch of wishy-washy, sappy people, I guess.
And you and I wouldn't be talking right now. So God
That's
is good.
Right. That's right. There you go. Well, Michelle, biblical fiction is not the easiest genre to write, and you pretty much told us already what inspired you to choose biblical fiction. But something that has always interested me is that there must be a lot, like a whole lot of research involved in the writing of this genre, a lot more than just reading the Bible. So what are some of your favorite go-to resources that you find most helpful in your research?
It is a tough genre because my books don't fall per se in the Christian world. I stick to the Old Testament stories in the Bible because I feel that they are the ones that are difficult to comprehend sometimes, difficult to read, and that people need to still hear the message. So, and like I said, God called me to write on Job, and then since then put on my heart to write the next book, The Peacemaker, based on David and Abigail. The next one, The Runaway Prophet, based on Jonah, and then The Jealous Son, based on Cain and Abel. So I feel like the New Testament stories, I don't really touch those because they are much easier written in a newer day, let's just say, to get the message that God's trying to tell us. So I stick to the Old Testament stories, and I do a lot of research with those, both with the Bible story itself, because I try to make it as authentic and stick to the Bible story as much as possible. But some of those stories are just a few pages, and my novels are 300-some pages.
Right.
That's a little romance. So I fill in the gaps, but I do stay true to the story. So some of my research is based on the Anchor Bible series, which in-depth goes into each of the books in the Bible and tells a little bit of history, when they were written, goes in depth into the people in those stories, how they came about. So I'll start with those. I'll, of course, go back to the Bible story itself and read it over and over again and you know, be in prayer with God. Then I go to a clergy member. And my books, I consider them edgy or contemporary inspirational novels, although they do pack a Christian message, they are non-denominational because they are based on the Old Testament stories. So, for example, Jewish people, I have Jewish readers that love my books because they, you know, speak to them. So I will rely on various clergy. I've had a Methodist pastor, a Baptist pastor, a priest, I talked to a rabbi with my first book based on a Jewish person. I try to go outside my box. And
mm-hmm.
I will actually visit these people, sit with these people and these clergy members, and make sure I have them read the novel and make sure it follows the Bible story. Second, I'm not an expert on everything, right? I do, they say, write what you know, write what you like to read, and in my case, write what I'm called by God to write. But I'm not an expert by far on anything. So I, you know, when I'm coming up with the plot and the characters, I use my imagination and you know, pray every day. And God leads me into some unsuspected plot twists. So, for example, with the Runaway Prophet set in Las Vegas, based on Jonah, New Nineveh, I have a radical terrorist group underground, and I have my Jonah character called out to Vegas to work with the FBI. Well, I don't know too much outside of watching FBI shows on television, so I found friend of a friend, I make a lot of contacts, and talk to an FBI agent and had him authenticate the book. I also, for The Jealous Son, my latest novel, I had it set in the Navajo Nation. Again, that idea came to me because it's based on Adam and Eve, who raised Cain and Abel, and they, I thought, Native Americans. They are the original people here, and my book is set in the United States. So I have, you know, I actually, they're a very private people. They were a tough door to knock on. I spoke to friends and family, and eventually I did speak to the PR director at Diné College, which is a tribal Native American college, Navajo college, and he authenticated the book for me. So I will talk to various people as the topics come along, whether it be, you know, like a rabbi, like I said, the faithful one, the peacemaker. It was based on David, who was a country rock singer and a horse rancher. You know, David was a shepherd, so I cast it in modern day. And it was actually based on a presidential election, so I did some research in the political field as well. So depending on the book and where it takes me and the plots and subplots, I will authenticate it with various experts in the field, even if it takes me a few years to do, because I think it's super important.
Oh, wow. I am so impressed, Michelle. And it sounds like these books that you're writing are way different from any biblical fiction I have ever read before. So now I've really got to get a couple of them and start reading. I even though I said so in my introduction, it didn't dawn on me that you actually take the story and put it in a modern day setting. I'm thinking of biblical fiction like some of the books I've read that they fictionalize a Bible story, or they flesh it out more or less. So
I think it is a fairly new,
very different approach.
I think it's a fairly new genre out there. I mean, we have William Paul Young wrote The Shack, and that was a little bit of an inspiration for me. I've actually met with him, and we've exchanged autograph copies. And yet that didn't follow a Bible story. That was modern day Christian fiction, edgy, you know, but I think my books are something new and fresh out there, and they bridge that gap between the universal world. So I want them to be entertaining because I want readers to read them so that they ultimately do get that message from God in the Bible story and then turn back to the Bible, or maybe turn to the Bible for the first time. Maybe they pick up my novel as a beach read. You know, it's packed with, like I said, suspense, romance, very entertaining, racy, but you do walk away with that message. And to me, that's what makes movies, books, what elevates them to greatness, is when you walk away with a message that touches your heart and changes you, and you hear God. You get a message of faith or hope or courage, whatever that message is, that really makes an impact on your life. And in your defense, it just came out in paperback, so now you can get a copy, and I really look forward to you reading it and finding out more.
Definitely, and it sounds like your books are the type of books, Michelle, that will plant the seed in the hearts of people to make them dig deeper and want to learn more about God and who he is and how we relate to him.
Yes, that's what my ultimate hope is. So back when I was originally writing my first novel, my goal was to be a rich and famous author. You know, I'm young and you know, of the world, and had fallen away from my faith, actually, at the time. And so I was writing, like I said, what I thought was the next great American novel. And that obviously wasn't the novel that was meant to get out there. And I had to go through some of my trials and tribulations to, you know, bend to God's will. And but I resisted for a while. I didn't see how reimagining Bible stories in a modern day way was going to make me rich and famous. But I, as we all know, God has a plan. So God not only helped me through, but my novels have helped other people, and that's the main satisfaction for me. Not rich and famous yet, but you know, if it goes there and the books get turned into TV and movies, which I'm hoping, and you know, take off, they are reaching bestseller lists now, and I hope that journey continues, and of course I'll keep giving back. But the main thing is when I hear, the main reward for me is when I hear from a reader that it helped, my book helped them. So, for example, yeah, I've done a lot of speaking to women's groups, church groups, and retreats and so forth, writers' conferences, and I hear somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, after I read The Faithful One, I decided to go back to church. And when I originally heard that, I was blown away. I was like, wow, because I get frustrated, you know, come on, God, let's make this happen. Let's move mm-hmm. this along. You know, I grew up very ambitious and competitive, which led to the sibling rivalry topic in The Jealous Son to some degree. But, you know, it humbles me and it makes me realize all we're here for is to do God's work. So then I spoke about The Peacemaker at another group setting and that had read the book, and a woman came up to me afterward and took my hand and said, Michelle, after reading this, I realize I'm married to the same guy you used to be married to. Can we talk? And that just touched my heart. The Peacemaker is about Abigail becomes David's second wife, and but originally she's married to a mean, narcissistic, abusive alcoholic. And, you know, I was going through a similar marriage. We get along today, but, you know, a difficult divorce. And that was a struggle. And Abigail, you know, eventually becomes David's second wife. But before she does, she's married to this guy, and they clash. I have them clash in a presidential election. Their campaigns get ugly, and she gets swept up in the middle. And it deals with alcoholism and some modern day issues. And so she gets caught up in that. And that young lady was going through some similar trials. So the book touched her and so on. So I feel like it's become a ministry. And I just recently did a radio show, and they said, it sounds like it's a ministry as well. And it really touched me to hear that, because I realized when I get frustrated, why aren't these books selling more copies? I realize, no, that's not what it's about. It's about getting God's message across.
Yes, and I can identify with what you're talking about, Michelle, just doing the show, because whereas you do get some feedback, I never get feedback at all. So I never know who's even listening to the show, except that I can see some numbers. But I've often thought to myself, and I pray about this, that perhaps a person who listens to a show will be the person that goes on to influence 100,000 others. You just never know.
Absolutely.
And if I can be the vehicle for that, and that's what God has given me to do, then I'm happy with that. And of course, at my age, I really doubt I'm ever going to be rich and famous. But I have learned to accept the fact that God has given me a certain assignment for a certain reason, and it's not for me to question who is going to be impacted by it or who's going to listen or whatever. That's why at the beginning of every show, I just pray that God will lead the hearts that need to hear whatever message we're doing that particular day to the show at the right time. And that's up to Him. But I'm so happy for you. I want to tell listeners that I just, believe me, I barely scratched the surface here of Michelle's experience and her expertise, because she sent me a whole list of the many different awards that she has received and the many different things that she does. She sent me a list of the workshops that she teaches, and this lady has just a wonderful influence over many, many people with what she does. So I just wanted to emphasize that to listeners. Michelle, we're just going to take a really quick break here. I like to let listeners know that you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Michelle Chenoweth, and she is an author, obviously, and she is a speaker, and she is also a book coach. And her specialty, her genre, is biblical fiction, but it's a different kind of biblical fiction from what I have ever been exposed to, in that she takes Bible stories and sets them in modern day. So I definitely am going to have to read some of her books. But the show is available on archive. Go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, and there you will find a link to this show and to all the shows that we have aired to date. If you would like some more information about Michelle, there will be a more info tab, and you click on that, and it will list all of Michelle's, her Facebook page and all of her other social media and her website as well. I would encourage folks to tell others about the show, and we'll get back to Michelle. Michelle, tell us a little bit about you. You mentioned the possibility, when we talked about this before the show went on air, about the possibility of maybe in your future some film opportunities. Would you share with us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Sure. I've always, like I said, dreamed, aspired, been an overachiever. So, and I think God uses that in the right way with some of us, such as yourself, that put yourself out there in the public light and on the air publicly. And He's put on my heart to have these eventually made into movies or television series. Now, it's not that easy, right? There are a lot of books out there. But I do believe that God doesn't put a dream on our heart not to bring it to fruition. So, and all we can do is take the next step, right? Walk on the path and do the work here on earth. So I have pitched my books to various producers. I've met with several actors along the way that are also authors, and they've included, recently I met with Kirk Cameron. I went to his show on the road about Christian marriage and family, and we talked a little bit. He took my books, and I said, Kirk, I would love if you could take these and run with them. I've also met along the way at various conferences, including the National Religious Broadcasters Conference and the International Christian Film Festival, various producers and actors. They've included Sam Sorbo and Kevin Sorbo, Sam being his wife. Kevin Sorbo, they've both written books, by the way, and I met with both of them at the International Christian Film Festival. And Kevin, of course, has been in various movies and is also doing Christian work. And, you know, we've discussed possibly turning my books into movies. Various other producers, met with David A.R. White at the same festival. He was in God's Not Dead and a few other movies, and he has a production company, Christian, as well. So I'm hoping that there are several really good Christian movies and Christian TV being produced right now, coming out, that have come out recently and are coming out in the near future. And I'm hoping just to be part of that mix, whatever God sees for these books.
Well, that would be absolutely wonderful, Michelle, and I'm very excited for you. And it definitely sounds, from the way you have described the stories, that they would lend themselves very well to the modern day movie screen. So I'll be praying for you that that comes to fruition.
Well, thank you. I've heard producers say, when I went to the International Christian Film Festival, and that was super exciting to be on the red carpet and meet with, you know, the stars. It was just like the Academy Awards, by the way. They give out the awards annually to the movies and television series that that shine, you know, in the Christian world. I went to a workshop there, and I'll never forget this. Isaac Hernandez, who is a producer, held up my books on the stage, and there were several hundred people in the audience, and he said, "This is what we need to bridge the gap, because, you know, a lot of Christian work is, you know, not catching fire, and we don't need to reach the Christians. We need to reach the rest of the world to bring them into the faith. So they need to be edgy and racy, and, you know, they don't have to have bad language or graphic sex scenes, but they do have to be entertaining." So he said, you know, we need to bridge that gap. And it's really hard, because the market is in its infant stages, but I'm hoping to work with people like Isaac and to bridge that gap so that we carry God's message to the world.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I kind of lean toward, in my writing, which has not come to fruition yet, I'm still working on it, but I like to write the Western genre. And I met a gentleman who was an agent. He's now retired, sadly, but anyway, he made the comment, and he said, even Christian Westerns, you can't hardly write a Western without a cowboy going into a saloon for a drink sometime during the novel, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I had, at one of my book signings at a Barnes & Noble, a man came up to my table, and he's looking over my books, and he said, "These can't be Christian fiction based on the Bible. The Bible doesn't have sex in it." And I said, "What Bible are you reading, mister? Because the Bible has everything in it."
That's funny. Oh,
so the Bible's packed with, I'll never run out of material, because it's packed with everything.
Yes, exactly.
It's a manual for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you, this is kind of a question that came to my mind, Michelle, because I'm in a critique group now with a gentleman who is writing some biblical fiction, and he's not setting it in modern day like you are. He's setting it back in the times, but he and I have discussed the fact that sometimes he interjects modern day language in there. Like, I've questioned things like when one character says to another, or what was the other one? Oh, and things like that that you don't ever see in the Bible. But he says, well, I kind of feel like they may not have used those exact words, but I'm sure that they had some words that they used like we do. What do you think about that?
Well, I try to I teach writing, publishing, and marketing your book to college classes, and I'm a book coach helping other writers. So as part of that teaching, I tried to tell my writers, who are in various genres, to make your book authentic, realistic, and make your dialogue real.
Yes.
However, this is interesting. When my first book, The Faithful One, based on Job, came out, it was before I worked with a Christian publisher and realized I was still in the beginning of God's calling, let's just say. It took me 8 years to write and eventually publish. I had some language in there, because there's a prison jail yard scene. You know, it's real. Like, Job loses his kids, and in a real way, while they don't, I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but they end up lost to him, and one is in prison serving a life sentence and ends up on death row. And it's in a prison yard. And you know how they probably talk. So I did have some language in there. Like I said, the Bible does have sexual content, but it's all how you write it. So my book originally had more language in it. When I originally self-published, then went with a Christian publisher, traditional publisher, and a wonderful editor took my book, and we worked together to remove some of that, but keep the scenes intact. So the same scenes happen. They just don't need some of that language. And you know what? It became a better book. It surprised me even. So went on to find a literary agent and working with a new traditional publisher and taking those steps to, you know, eventually, hopefully land on the New York Times bestseller list. They're getting there, like I said. But they don't, they can remain clean and yet be very entertaining.
Yes.
So dialogue needs to be real.
Back in the day, Michelle, I mean, you know, Christian publishers wouldn't even begin to touch the subject of divorce or abortion or rape or anything like that. It was like, absolutely not. And finally, they have come to a realization that, hey, the real world is dealing with these things, and we have to present them in a Christian worldview. So I'm glad to see those changes have occurred over time.
Well, thank you. Me too.
Well, Michelle, I know that you are in the midst, and you're probably coming close to the end of your blog tour for your latest novel, The Jealous Son. So for the next few minutes, let's concentrate on that. Tell us what the premise is of it, what it's about, excuse me, without giving too much away, and what inspired you to write that particular book.
So I grew up with one sister, and we did have a sibling rivalry. I grew up in a very big Irish Catholic family. Our family reunions, we have all kinds of competitive games, and like if we played egg toss and you drop the egg, your partner comes running after you to throw a raw egg at you. I mean, very competitive. But fun, you know. And I, you know, grew up comparing. I want to talk a little bit about some of my dark times and how I came through them. It was, you know, I also am in recovery. I suffered with a disease of alcoholism. And luckily, like Job, God brought me through a lot of my dark issues, including that, challenges, including that, and made my faith even stronger through recovery. And it's a spiritual program through that. But anyway, dealing with some of that sibling rivalry and some of my character defects, which was comparing and, you know, wanting more and more and jealousy. And then, like I mentioned, we have a blended family of five kids. They're all grown now. They're all in their 20s, actually. But I have two sons now, 27 and 29, that had that same sibling rivalry. And loosely, the characters are Cain and Abel are based on my sons. Actually, all of my children, they all kind of play a little bit of a part and bring out some real issues like addiction, the opioid crisis.
Yes.
What happens when jealousy goes too far? What happens when a mother loses her child or both children? And I authenticated that by talking to some mothers that have lost children. I had a miscarriage, but I drew on those emotions as well. But parents who lose their children, and how do they get through? I talked with them and how their faith played a part. So, yes, very real issues that both I've gone through and that people go through today. So that sparked the idea for The Jealous Son. And then, you know, I realized I would have to start with Adam and Eve. And in my book, they are banned from the Navajo Nation because they, in the tribal council's eyes, commit some crimes. They struggle with drugs and you know, sex and some things that you know, they realize they've done some things that are wrong, and they are shunned out of the Navajo Nation, which has its own tribal laws, and they're forced to work like Adam and Eve had to do and work hard for a living. And then they raise these two sons, and along the way, one does think that life's not fair. And a lot of times we all struggle with that. Life's not fair. You know, the other person is getting more than I get. That why? And, you know, it goes to show, you know, and in this world, we're seeing a lot of people dealing with a lot of anger, and, you know, and murders are happening every day. And, you know, how do you deal with that? So that comes to light in the book.
Well, it sure sounds like a very intense story, and I definitely need to get a copy to read. I have one sister who, she and I get along very well. I don't know that there really was ever much sibling rivalry between us, and my son and my daughter always got along fairly well, so I was always quite fortunate in that aspect of my life. But still, it just sounds like a fascinating book.
Well, thank you.
Well, what lessons do you think God wants to teach us through our relationships with our siblings, Michelle?
I would say definitely to be grateful for what you do have. Part of Cain's problem, well, first of all, he kind of took the easy way out and was lazy when it came to giving an offering to God. And in the book's case, the two sons give birthday gifts to their father, representing God. And Cain kind of takes the easy way out and gives an offering, but it's not from the heart, whereas
right.
The Abel character does. And so he sees his father liking the gift of the brother more, and he gets jealous, and he doesn't look at himself. So we need to look at ourselves, stay in our lane, not compare, and realize that God's calling us and be who we are, not to be who our sisters and brothers and friends and other people are, and to fulfill our unique purpose that he calls us to fulfill, and quit comparing and competing, and just really stay in your lane, I guess, is the best way to put it, and fulfill your purpose. And when you do struggle, and we all will become frustrated, to not look at what other people have, but to stay in prayer. If you need to, go to counseling. In my book, Eve and Cain go to see a counselor eventually, because they can't deal with, they're having trouble coping with all of these emotions of anger and loss and jealousy. And, you know, speaking to other people, to, you know, professionals in the field when you're struggling, and you know, letting some of that out so that you don't take it out on other people.
I consider myself very blessed to have a wonderful sister, and my kids get along pretty good. The only thing about my sister is that I always was a little jealous, because when I was going to nursing school, I wanted to join the Air Force. Well, I couldn't join because I have some visual impairment. She got to join the Air Force and do 20 years.
Oh, wow.
But then I got to work with veterans, so it all evened out in the end.
And here you are on national radio, so.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, hey.
Would have thunk it. And I have to be grateful, because I, too, like I said, I'm celebrating 15 years in recovery, and that's exciting. But when I was going through those Job-like trials and tribulations, which was losing my marriage through divorce and losing my business through my ad agency business through the recession, and felt like I was losing my kids who were becoming teenagers, and then losing my health and through the disease of alcoholism, and questioning why me, you know, why me? Why not my sister? Why not my friend? Why me? And like we all do. And Job goes there too. And the message is God has a plan for each of us. And as it turns out, I am now reaping some of the rewards, and God brought me through to the light. from the dark places. So
yes.
Now I'm remarried to a wonderful husband. We have a good relationship with all five of our kids, and they all struggle with their own, you know, issues and challenges.
Of
but
course.
They're all adults now, so and you know, we focus on ourselves and do the best we can, let's just say, and but good relationships overall, and faith helps with that. I'm now living the dream of being an author, speaker, and book coach, helping other writers become authors. And I am in recovery, helping others get sober, stay sober, and working with others in that ministry. So, you know, you never know what God has in store. So I'm just really excited about all the possibilities and the future.
Definitely. And it sounds like for all you've been through, Michelle, you have such a full life now, and that is such a blessing, and you're definitely so much touching the lives of others, and I think that's just wonderful. I would never have dreamed, of course, I don't know you except through what I've read about you. I would never have dreamed that you had a serious problem with alcohol. Look at somebody like you who's got so much success, and it's like, oh, they must, you know, really not have many problems in their lives, and who knew? Thank you for sharing
you
that with us.
You can't judge everything. Well, you're welcome. You can't judge everything on what you see on Facebook, right? On the social
exactly.
media. But I also feel that God has to, we have to be humbled to see our true potential. We have to surrender to some of those defects of character, some of those, if we're hitting a dark time, we need to be humbled and surrender our egos and our arrogant selves to be humbled, to get to the other side, to be able to fulfill our purpose and ultimately be a light to others.
Yes, exactly. Michelle, what is your next project? Or do you have one in mind? I'm sure you do.
I do.
Your next book project.
The next book is going to be based on Solomon. I've already started to authenticate that, and I started to write it, actually. A lot of it's in my head, but that's what God called me to write next, because I met a person. Solomon, as we know, is the guy in the Bible who God said, which gift would you like? And he prayed for the gift of wisdom and became very wise and very wealthy. But he squandered some of that, squandered some of those gifts, and some terrible things happened with Solomon, plot twists and turns. And in the end, he ends up very humbled and wiser in the end, but he goes through some dark times as well. And I met a guy who, very wealthy, has a lot going on, women, wealth, power, and it all doesn't mean a thing if you get carried away by all of the worldly things and lose your faith. And so that's my next book. I'm also working on several books with other authors, and wouldn't you know, God puts usually Christian fiction and nonfiction in my path. I help a lot of nonfiction writers with memoir, with self-help books, because I help them as a fiction writer tell stories in their books and really describe more. I mean, nonfiction can tend to be dry if you don't be descriptive and really capture the reader through story. So I'm helping various writers, and I'm open to writers out there to work with them. And I'm just excited for the next chapter.
Interesting. Well, do you happen to, I haven't explored your website enough to know this, Michelle, do you have information about your services that you offer and your fees and all that kind of thing on your website?
I do. I have a coaching tab on my website. So if you visit my website, which I'm sure you'll put out there, michellechenoweth.com, you'll find information on all my books and how to order them. You'll find information about me and also about my speaking services and my coaching services. So I welcome everybody to visit my website and find out more and stay in touch through all of the various social media channels.
Yes, and that will be on my website for folks to take a look at. Michelle, we're about at the end of our time, but is there anything else you would like to talk about that you're thinking, man, I wish she had asked me about that?
No, Patty, you did a fabulous job. You're a blessing. You're a great interviewer. And I just encourage you to keep doing your good work. And everybody out there, if they have a story, and I think a lot of us do, that needs to be told, don't be afraid. Ask for help. I'm really approachable, and I'm an encourager. So feel free to call me, email me, and we'll talk, and I'll give you whatever free advice I can. And I just want to other people out there to tell their stories, not be afraid to tell the truth and be out there, because you all can be blessings to other people. It took me a lot of years to realize this, but I finally do, that we all, like you said, if we help one other person come back to their faith or find faith and carry on, we're doing our job out there, and that's what it's all about.
Most definitely. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. You have just, oh my goodness, you've just shared your heart about your projects and about your personal life and your struggles and your trip, your journey from darkness to light. And I just want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You have truly been a blessing to me and to my listeners. So may God bless you. And I know you're headed off to a conference. So may God bless all the folks that you meet with there, and the classes that you attend, and those God moments that happen. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Patty. God bless.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you so much for spending time with us today, and we hope to see you next time. God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a